Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi Party Line, episode 168. I am your hostess, Kat. We have your other host, Carl.
What's happening, people? We have got a real party line going tonight.
Are you going to introduce our other guest, Carl?
I'm afraid because the I might get me.
So that's other hostess.
I just can't Stephanie. Win.
Yeah, hush it. We have our other hostess, Stephanie.
Hey, what am I getting myself into? What's happening?
Don't put it on us because I'm prepared. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And welcome back, Jamil. What's going on?
What's going on? Carl and me going to have to take it to Street Fighter. Me and you going to have to get on Street Fighter because if it's not Stargate Universe, it's the I in my name. It's always something with Carl.
Listen. Silly me pronouncing the letters I see in the word. I'm sorry, man. That's it.
I invite you back.
Hey, children, come on. You know how this goes down. I cannot have a common Islamic name without some kind of funky spelling. It's like in the rules. It's a hidden amendment in the Constitution that only applies to African Americans. We cannot have normally spelled names. We can't. It was part of the Emancipation Proclamation. They didn't see it. They took it out.
Here we go. We got to take it back to Lincoln. Can we stay on topic, people? On topic.
It's Lincoln's fault. Blame Lincoln for my name.
Oh my gosh. I have like the biggest urge to mispronounce Carl's name for the rest of the show.
I think you should. It would just flow. It would flow.
That's impossible.
Mm-hmm. We're just calling him Carol.
That would not work. That doesn't work.
Carl. Kareel. Now you sound like you're from Krypton.
Thank Kareel. You. Yes. Father of Superman. That's it. Kar-El. Kar-El. That's right.
That's ridiculous. Okay, guys. Today we're going to talk about Walking Dead, Almost Human, and The Helix. Kind of like the SARS, but with he. Okay, anyway. And also, I'll probably want to ask you guys about what you thought about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, but that's later on. So we're going to kick it off with Walking Dead, in which Stephanie, for some reason or another, was smoking crack and forgot to watch the latest two Walking Deads. So she did. She watched the one called Inmates, but missed the premiere. And I told her that it wasn't a big deal because really all Carl did, not our Carl, Carell, but Carl on The Walking Dead.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Carl proved he should have stayed in the house that whole time.
Yeah, that's true.
Every time Carl told Carl to get back in the house, they were right.
Yeah.
That's what that so proved. Mm-hmm. I spent the whole episode yelling, get back in the house, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate pudding, so. So, Stephanie, really all it was Carl doing teenage angst for like a whole episode while Rick laid on a sofa in a coma and Michonne kind of cried and shuffled around with some zombies. So that's pretty much it. You didn't miss anything.
Wait, so Rick is alive with like broken teeth and bullet wound and
yeah,
nobody's treated him
like a week and then he woke up and he was fine.
Yeah, but see, remember that's because Carl had to be the man of the house now because he didn't want to listen to his dad anymore and his dad was stumbling around like a zombie. So when his dad went down, then Carl had to go out and he had to be the man and find the food and take care of the house they found and all that stuff. But, you know, he was really angsty about it.
Very.
Surprisingly, the episode was written by Kirkman. I thought it would have more action in it, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Robert Kirkman wrote that episode, so I was expecting, well, maybe not more action, but somebody to die because, you know, he loves his torture. So I thought something more was going to happen. It was interesting seeing the mental stuff that Michonne went through, though. You got some insight into her, so that was cool, I guess. But that's the only purpose that the episode served for me. That was it.
Well, we got to see her in makeup. But the conversation she had made no sense.
Well, it was a nightmare. That's all it was. It was non sequitur.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't real. I would love to see them in a real situation, but, you know, at least she got to see something where she's not just the dreaded zombie killer machine thing. You know.
Oh, okay. So, you know, the softer side of Michonne.
It was a suburban, like, you know, girlfriend's episode version of Michonne. It was a little unsettling, actually. I mean, she looked great and everything, but she was like, "Hi, honey, what would you like for dinner?" I'm like, hey, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
So, and she did have some cutlery at the time, so I was a little concerned where that was going to go.
But, yeah.
I would also like to point out, you know, returning to the topic, it was probably the most black folks we have seen in an episode of Walking Dead. I'm telling you, I when I was watching it, I was like, this has got to be a dream. Somebody going to bust out a wall or something? Because it was like if you'd seen a 5-minute dialogue on original series Star Trek of nothing but red shirts. And they were just sitting around, hey, man, what you going to be doing later? And then nothing happened. You know, it's like, they make it? What? How? What? So I was happy to see it. You know, it is February. So I was happy that, you know, it was going on. But I got to tell you, it was very different from what we have normally seen on Walking Dead. So kudos.
The last time they did that, there was a trade-off. It was like as soon as Tyrese shook Rick's hand, T-Dog died.
Yep.
It wasn't even like, it was as if the gods was like, two black people in Georgia? No.
Throw him off the bus.
Oh, my God. Oh, what is happening here, Stephanie? We need to realize.
I'm going to sit here drinking my 12-year-old scotch and let you guys just... there you go.
This is where you come in. So we have the second episode where we get to see more than like Carl in his stupid hat. Right. So what happens is we see Tyrese and the two killer sisters, the young killer sisters. And then Tyrese is walking and he's looking serious and he got his back to us. And then all of he turns around and who does he have, Stephanie?
He's got little ass kicker.
Yay.
Life. That was awesome.
First decision ever.
Is it worse?
Oh.
Yes. Seriously. Kill the baby. Seriously.
I think they're on the way. They're on the way to that because of Creepy McGee, who wanted to crush her throat.
Yeah, it's weird. It was. They should have just let it happen. Like in the comic, the baby's already dead. The baby died, and the governor's
No.
I know because we read it, right, Kat?
Yes, we read it.
Sorry, my bad. But
so
I'm just saying.
No, like, we literally did. We read the first compendium together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I thought I just spoiled it for you. My bad. Okay.
High five for reading.
Yeah. Like, why keep the baby? It's hard to tell this story without something horrible happening to that kid. I mean, all you're doing is dragging it out. When something horrible is going to happen that's going to scar everybody later. So they should have just let it happen in a horrible way off screen. And I would have rather the bloody bat, car seat mean something different. That's just my opinion.
Lizzie Borden will take care of her.
Yeah. I'm thinking that might be, yeah, she's a let the darkness come.
She's got a dark passenger. Yeah.
Can't wait for her to spin off Lil Dexter. That'd be great.
I mean, I thought the killing of the baby in the comic book was just, it was too much. Like, we've already had enough child death. We got one that came out of the barn as a freaking zombie, got capped in the head. Then we got one chomped on from a swamp or something, and then she got shot in the head.
Yeah,
so, you know, can we keep a baby?
Look, times is tough in the zombie world. You got to be fighting.
Where is Tyrese? Tyrese is not lactating. You know what I mean? Where are they getting stuff? He didn't stop and grab some formula on the way out.
They did. They fed her a bottle, remember?
A bottle. That's probably the only one they got.
That's the one that was probably in the car seat. Like, like it just, it stretches plausibility for me. I can see kids being careless and accidentally getting chomped on, but a baby's tough. It's
a
tough.
A crying baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't smother her all the time.
Oh my God. You guys are super harsh. Like wow. First, Carl said he'd leave me if there was a zombie apocalypse. He wouldn't try to, you know, find me or whatever. I mean, I think Stephanie would, even though she's across the nation, she would at least try to, you know, let off a fucking call. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I told you not to go there just because they have comfortable beds. You didn't want to live in the forest with me?
No. I'll live in the forest, but I'm just saying, until we have other proof otherwise, because, like, we hadn't read the comic books, and so we didn't know how evil that the governor was. So, to me, like, if you're going to have a night with, like, some sheets and, like, shower and a bathtub.
Everything about that looked like a gingerbread house. You should have known. You're walking through the woods and you see a gingerbread house, and the lady says, "Come on in. Everything's good inside. Don't go in. Do not go. You don't have to know what's coming.
Oh, don't go in." That's a nice segue.
Yeah.
You're not going to get me. If your town still looks like the 50s, no. Didn't even look like a modern town. No.
You're okay. Not gonna get me. So.
That's some Stepford stuff going on in there. You're not going to get me.
It's a little creepy.
So I think another thing, as the baby is crying and they're having problems, and Tyrese had to leave the sisters back to back. And
that was so rude. Why would you do that?
He wanted to go try to help and have more people to help with that baby and stuff. And he was going to come right back to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I was like, "That's not plausible." He just didn't want to be with the kid.
That's probably part of it.
Yeah, that too. I mean, if it's not my baby, I'm looking to dump it as quick as possible too in a zombie apocalypse.
Oh
I'm
my
just
God! Who are you?
Look, you gotta recognize. You gotta recognize. Tyrese is not like, you know, the fatherly type. It's just not his vibe. So he already, you know, he said, "All right, well, I might as well save the baby." Now he's got two girls that are armed and frightened, chasing around behind him in the woods. Tyrese needs a moment. He's like, "I just need to go kill a couple of zombies. I'll be right back. All right, y'all just stay here with your graham crackers. Let me take care of this."
Didn't even have some damn graham crackers.
That's the best he could do. So he left him a gun. Left him a gun.
That's right.
He left them a gun.
Yeah, back to back.
And a crying child.
I had a gun, though.
You spend 3 hours with them two little girls, and it's going to be either the zombies or them. You got to kill something.
two guys' attitude is why the black man always get killed in the movies. You need to have a little bit of honor. You know what I'm saying, sir? You need to have a little bit of, like, if they got killed and chomped on by us, at least you did all you could do. But you like, "Oh, I gotta dish the baby as fast as no."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tell that to T Dog.
Yeah, for real. T Dog Connor. He's like, "Save yourself, white lady. I will get bit by these zombies.
No.
Run."
A lot of people was bothered by one of, I guess, little Lizzie Borden and her stabbing a rabbit.
Well,
she was stabbing.
That may explain the dissection rat thing that was in the prison.
Yeah.
That was a very clear transition for me, because we wanted to know who it was. She out there with the rabbit, clarified right away.
Honestly, I thought she was killing for food, and so I didn't really get uncomfortable with the rabbit. I just was like, well, why didn't they take the rabbit with them? Because I thought they needed it for food. Oh no, she was just stabbing bunnies.
That's why.
Tyrese said something like, "Did you leave him some food?" I think as a tactic. Yeah, I think they left, like, zombie hors d'oeuvres for them, and that was the bunnies.
To
slow them down.
No.
Yeah, but she was enjoying that.
Of course she was enjoying it, but, like... I don't think it was her independent thought. I think she... I mean, I think Tyrese knew about it.
Okay, because I wasn't sure about that. I thought maybe he was asking because he was like, oh, there are a bunch of dead bunnies back here. Is that part of the plan? She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's for the zombies. And she writhes her hands, you know. So yeah. I didn't realize that was part of the plan, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
I'll have to do a
read. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we
I just saw it.
Yeah, so you know more than we do because mine is like 2 days ago. Okay, okay.
That's what it looked like to me.
All right. So what did we think about the return of Carol?
Ah, yes, that's so great. I love it.
I am not sure what Steph thinks. I'm not sure.
She's subtle. But, she's a subtle flower. Yeah, we can't quite figure it out.
Not sure how Steph feels about it. I, for one, can't wait for both of them to walk in. You know, they got the obvious reconnection with Rick. So I can't wait for both of them to walk up to him together. That's just going to be all kinds of awesome awkward. So
Carol is tracking them. He's going to find Carol pretty soon.
What do you think? There's going to be a big sloppy wet kiss or what?
Not at first, because Daryl's too cool. You know, he'd be like, sup. That'll be it. You know, I mean, back in the barn, there's going to be some action. But in the first time, it's like, hey, I see you took care of yourself. That's right, Daryl. And then they do a little circle around each other. And then that'll be it. But later, it's going to be on. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the Rick encounter and the reveal. I'm very curious to see what Tyrese is going to say.
So, yeah. Did you see her facial expression when she realized that he still didn't know?
Yeah, that hug. That's it. Yeah.
She was very like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know that I killed your girlfriend and you're hugging me, so all right.
Yeah.
You can be people. Now, it depends. If Kirkman writes the episode where she sees Daryl again, what's going to happen is they will finally tell each other they love each other and she'll die from her cancer. Mm. Like, that's probably what he'll do.
Wait, she has cancer?
Yep.
Since when?
What?
She's had cancer the whole time. That's why she has the short hair. She stopped getting chemo when the zombie attack happened. So that's a Chekhov's gun.
Hang on. Where are you getting this from?
That's a Chekhov's gun that has not gone off yet. She has cancer.
What? You know, women can have short hair.
No, I'm saying go back and watch season one. It's mentioned.
Oh, no, it is?
Yeah. Yeah, it's mentioned. Like, her hair was really, really short at the beginning because she was coming off chemo.
Okay, yeah. I didn't remember that.
Chekhov's gun. It'll go off sooner or later. So I'm thinking we've got Daryl's going to have some unrequited love sooner or later. Like, you don't want them to tell each other they love each other. Because when they do, Kirkman.
Man, I didn't think about it. I haven't done a rewatch, so.
Yeah, I can't remember the episode. I'll admit that. I cannot remember the episode, but I do remember it's mentioned in season one. Hmm.
Man, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Kirkman's like George Double R. Martin. Don't trust him.
Well, he's more in... Oh, man. Let's not talk about Game of Thrones. I'm still dating. So, I don't know. I was happy to see Carol because she came out of the blue, but I think it's a little rude for, you know, them to be in need of somebody to help with the baby, and then Carol just magically shows up because she, you know, is the female adult supervision for babies or something. So, I don't know. What do you think about that, Stephanie?
The whole thing is a little bit rude because they had several days notice before the governor came to attack them, and they didn't have a meeting place like they did the last couple of times this happened to them. Why didn't that happen? Like, nobody is planning on going to a place that they've all decided to meet. I don't understand this. This is behavior that they've done before. Why are they deviating from it? Mm-hmm. So that's the big rude thing to me. I'm going, okay, now we're all scattered, but you didn't think this was a a plausible risk. Just confused.
I'm also very having a little trouble getting an idea how far away from the prison they are. Because, you know, some of the team had a bus. Some people were on foot running out. Some people had babies. And people are magically meeting up conveniently. I'm having some problems with that as well. But
yeah, where was Carol the whole fucking time?
Yeah. Apparently she was like 2 blocks away. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like she see the whole thing go down, or
she did say that she saw the end of it. So she would have been camping out.
This cannot be right. Because remember how long Rick drove her? I mean, look, when he had her in the minivan, or excuse me, in the station wagon, and they went driving out to the quote farm. You know how they go and they just drop their dog off at the farm. It was very clear that it wasn't just right down the street with it, where you could hear the gunshot from the camp.
I'm pretty sure she's not an idiot and she can find her way back to the prison.
Yeah, she made her way back. I mean, if you know where the food is, you know.
Yeah, but they weren't going to give her any.
She could have had a lift from the new army people. Terminus.
She did have the station wagon. He left her something out there, but still, I don't think that given how things left, that it would have been her first reflex to go right back where she came from.
Was stalking around, you know, just to see what would happen and stuff.
Maybe.
That's what I mean. That's exactly. So, like, Stephanie does bring up a good point. What do we think about Terminus?
It can't be good.
It reminds me of 28 Days Later. I don't know.
Oh, like
kind of. Yeah, it just reminds me of some paramilitary people trying to start up civilization again.
Every time they've gotten a hint where they say all of the people are meeting here, it's been bad. It's been bad. EDC incident. They nuked a town. You know, it's just everywhere they've gone. Where people say, oh, it's safe, meet up here. Everyone's welcome. Nothing but catastrophe has ensued. So I mean, like I said with the gingerbread house, at this point, why they would think that that's a good idea, I'm not entirely sure. But
it can be worse than just running around on foot. Like, after days of running from massive amounts of zombies, I don't know. I might take a town for a while. I might go to Woodbury just for a night and leave when Michonne says it's uncomfortable.
But look, you see how things went with Michonne. It wasn't like that she just popped in. It was like, well, nice hanging out with you. Thanks for the sheets. I'll be catching you guys later. That's not exactly how it went.
No, she got a chance to leave on her own. She walked out of there, right?
What? And then Merle was supposed to hunt her down.
Exactly.
Yeah, Merle, they had a love connection going on.
Well, Merle Schoen may be that as it may. The governor sent Merle out to go kill her ass. She knew it.
Yeah.
She knew it. That's why she sent that little clever message, go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody except for not Andrea. I call her not Andrea because she's way too incompetent to actually be Andrea. She is so incompetent. But everybody but not Andrea knew that the governor was wrong. Yeah. Even the people that was with him, they knew he was twisted. They just said, well, he runs a tight ship. We got to keep him. So,
So, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. But, hey. Whatever, Terminus, big arrows pointing on a map for leads everybody to one location. Fine. What could happen?
What good place is named Terminus?
Yeah, that bothered me.
What good place? What place that you would want to stay around at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Called Terminus.
We're having a party at Tombstone later. No. That's all right. That's okay.
They always
That's a name for like far in the future city, you know, where people have lost the understanding of Latin. You know, that's a little bit too recent in the future for that. I don't know. It seemed a little out of place. It seemed a little Mad Max.
Unless 10 miles out, they get on a train and that's the last stop. That is the only reason that you name a place.
If they get on a train, this is the revolution, and then I'm out.
Well, I, you know what though? I have a theory. I don't know. After this last episode, I got the impression that maybe Lizzie was the one that killed Tyrese's girlfriend, and that Carol's just covering for her.
Well, that'd be a good twist.
It would be, and that would be a way to keep Carol on the show, and she could have the longest cancer ever after Walter White.
Or what would really, really make it sad, what would really make it sad is if Tyrese finds out, kills her, and only then finds out that it was Lizzie that did it. That would be excruciating.
That's the way it's going to go down too, Carl.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Thanks, Carreel. That's rude.
I'm just channeling my inner Kirkman.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, so they met up with some military folks. So I need to know, like, why every time they meet up with someone, do these people have attitudes? Like, why can't people just be nice?
Those people are all dead or zombies.
Yeah.
It's been long enough now after the zombie apocalypse for all the nice people to die.
They've whittled all the kind, generous people out. They've shared their food. They've given their home.
Yeah. Those are the original inhabitants of Woodbury.
Yep.
Well, then maybe I won't make it because I just think people should treat each other like nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, Stephanie, I mean, we're both from Texas, right? I mean,
yeah.
But I would die, wouldn't I, because I'm too nice.
No, what you do is you just go to, you know, find some crazy people, like, that already have wanted to make their own country in Texas, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I think if you're nice but fast, you'll be all right. You see that? If you're nice, but you can just get away from whatever is going on, you might be okay. But generally, no, kindness is not a trait that's rewarded in post-apocalyptic situations.
Yes. It will never turn out well. Being nice will never turn out well in the post-apocalypse.
Well, I don't know. I think that if I ran Woodbury, see, I would be a stern leader. Yeah, I would have my army kill whoever came in. I would be like, but I would not have the heads in a tank, and I would not keep my kid as a zombie. So maybe that would be cool. But I know that if people came to visit, it would be the nicest, cleanest place with clean sheets, Carl. You would have soap and bathtubs, and it would be a safe place for all to come. But if you catch an attitude and if you're rude, you're dead. And then maybe I might have the head.
If you're rude, you're dead.
So basically you'd be bipolar? Wait a minute.
Yeah, y'all do realize that Kat is morphing into Tina Turner from Thunderdome. Y'all hear this, right? It's like, everyone's welcome as long as they don't cross the queen.
Well, I mean, you have to set up some rules of people to take your crap down. You have to have men with guns at all positions. See, the governor had it right, but I think it's the fight nights that he had. It's the heads in the tanks and the daughter zombie and him just kind of killing everybody, and then he was crazy, and well, there's a list of things that was
quite a long list.
Yes, it's a slippery slope, my dear. She just keeps adding on stuff, and people who don't make up their beds at the beginning of the day, that's it. I've got limits.
Well, I mean, making up the bed, well, I don't really believe in that either, because you're just going to get right back in it, so that I can let that slide.
And tomorrow, Kat says, just one head. I'll keep one head.
One. Just one. Just let people know I'm not like that. That's not me. That's a reminder of who the governor is.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. Right, Stephanie? We could keep one head. Hank.
You see how Stephanie is afraid to respond just then? Yeah, that is exactly what would be happening in Cat's Town. People would be like, yeah, no, that sounds good. That's reasonable. Okay, don't hurt me.
Carl and I have dropped the babies off and ran to the forest. We're safe.
That's right. That's right. We are safe. We are mean. And we are keeping distance from each other. We're safe.
Yeah.
Y'all, if I'd heard y'all kill some babies or drop some babies, man.
No, we would have given them to the we would have given them to the first nice lady we saw, and then exactly. She would have gotten eaten up by the zombies.
Rude.
That's it.
That is rude.
I said drop the babies off.
That's
with
right.
People.
Mm. And then, yeah, so you just fixed the problem by dropping the baby. You didn't kill the baby, you just dropped it off.
And if the baby gets killed in the process,
we would leave it in Cass Woodbury. Yeah. You know?
No, we'd hunt you down, bruh.
That's so rude.
That is rude. Don't be
you'd never find us because, you know, we could hear the baby. We know
you're exactly. Coming. You can't sneak up on me with that crying baby.
I'll send out my centurions.
Okay, y'all want to eat? Y'all want to eat out here or you want to sleep in the bed?
Well, we eat and sleep
in
the bed.
I'm in Portland. We have yurts. We have yurts in Portland. We're good.
Right. So, I'm in Ithaca. We ain't got shit but snow, so.
Well, hey, in World War Z, that would help you.
Yeah.
Depends on which zombie apocalypse you're talking about.
We got a drought out here, so I take your snow right now. Mm-hmm. So,
whatevs.
It was like 70 today. It was horrible.
70? Oh, cry me a river, son.
70. It's so warm and pleasant out here. It's horrible.
That's just rude. Super.
I mean, I actually got some vitamin D from all the sun. It's so bad.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's enough. That's enough. Okay. So Walking Dead, I don't know what's going to happen. We're on the first two episodes. Everybody's scattered. Stephanie, how did you feel about Glenn?
I was happy that he didn't die. And it was cute to see him in riot gear.
Again.
Yeah. That was cute. I'm surprised that What's-Her-Face lived without shooting a fire or single shot. She was just there. I can't wait for her to die.
Cage girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that she was kind of broken up about Herschel, and then that Glenn didn't know anything about Herschel. Right. You had to find out that way, and I think she's gonna die, you know, because she doesn't have really anything else to live. I wonder if her mom's around, you know.
Probably not. Anybody who's not, you know, specifically introduced that we met in that episode, I'm pretty sure those are the cannon fodder characters. If they don't die now, they'll die before the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know.
I suspect, but like I said, I'm shocked Herschel made it as long as he did, though.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
Every episode, I was like, well, that's it for Herschel, and he came back. Well, it bit on his leg, and he came back. And he just Herschel just kept coming back, so maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I forgot what happened like the next time trailer, so we'll have to, you know, keep you updated on The Walking Dead. Anybody last thoughts on Walking Dead? Anything you're dying to get out?
No, so far the pacing's better. I was a little concerned about the Carl episode, I admit. I sometimes I find that kind of teenage rebellion frustrating to watch.
Sometimes.
Because the entire time you're just going, that's a bad idea. Oh, that's an even worse idea. And it never seems to be justified. It's just bad decisions for the sake of bad decisions. Let's walk backwards and luring the zombies in an area I've never been before. I'm sure this will work out fine. No, that was
well, kinda, he's a teenager. That was true teenager behavior.
Excruciating to watch.
I don't think all teenagers are that stupid.
Not all of them, but most of them. Let's be real. Dear. Think back.
Think back. I was a smart.
I was stupid.
Nah.
I was dumb. Yeah, I'm willing to admit it.
I think I'm just a little bit upset by all the convenient things that are happening. I mean, yeah, they've had some convenient things happen in the past, but I don't know. They're just one too many for me right now. I'm kind of annoyed. I love the show. I'm just like, I'm over some of this stuff. I just want them to meet up again because all these strange happenstances need to quit, you know. Mm-hmm. Just meet up in Terminus and do something fun, you know.
Fun?
Yes. Do something fun that will involve a bunch of zombie killing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the fun you're talking about. All right.
Oh, did you mean sex? Because I don't want to see any of those people naked.
Yeah, no, that's not exactly what I meant. That's no. I said fun. When I heard fun, I was thinking like we're going to play pool or bowling or some shit. That's not.
You're always talking about seeing the governor's ass way too many times.
Well,
so
we did, and now his right ass there. Is dead. So we don't have to see his self anymore. Like he got laid more than anybody in the show.
Well, that's because he's evil.
Glenn got evil. Laid more than anybody in the show.
Well, he had many different women. Like the governor, he had at least three different women that we saw in his short life.
Well, I mean, listen, I actually don't want to see anyone's ass right now because no one's had a bath, especially not Daryl. So the fun I was referring to was just killing zombies.
Ah, okay. Not sure they had fun with that, but okay.
Well, no, but the audience does.
Well, yeah.
By the way, did you see my post about Zombiever?
I saw post, but I didn't watch the... What is it, Zombiever? Is it a zombie beaver?
Yes. It's zombie beavers.
I watched the video. Why you did that to me, I do not know. It was so bad. It was so bad. It wasn't funny bad.
She makes us watch the most horrible things. You didn't have to sit through the description.
No, I'm not watching Zombiever. Not after my friend forced me to watch Deathbed, the bed that eats people. Deathbed, the bed that eats people. I watched it. That happened. And it was not fun.
Have you seen Rape Stove? The Rape Stove?
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Why are you people watching this stuff?
I am very confused. I don't want to know.
Why would you voluntarily watch that?
Nope. Don't want to know.
It sounded like you submitted Carl to some pain.
It was because, see, look, I'm down for camp. You know, Sharknado has got a ridiculousness to it that I find, you know, campy, fantastic. You see it? It's just, no, I haven't seen it yet. But just
why are you talking about it?
Because just for, what did it say, Fight Club? I talk about Sharknado. But when I watch the previews for Zombiever
by the producers of Cabin in the Woods, which is, and American Pie, sure it's obviously campy.
You sure can't tell from the production value. When you're watching it, it just, even it the beavers terrible. Were bad. It's bad. It's bad.
I will include this in the show notes. It just seems like I have to.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
People doesn't. It's Stephanie's fault. Don't. It's that's at Steph by Stereo.
Yeah, that's her. That's all her.
It's a live tweet in the future. That's what it's going to be.
Man. Okay, so let's, you know, walk away from that madness and walk into some more madness, which is Almost Human. So there's a lot of things that happen, but in a very bizarre order on Almost Human. We had something that felt like a season finale or a half season finale, and that's where we had this big climactic thing with the fembot, killer fembot, and then like this doctor who created Dorian, who was like his father, and then he flipped on everyone, and then they went over the air quote wall. And then after that big epic finish, we kind of go back to like episodes where, you know, no one discussed the wall anymore. It was just like it didn't exist, or we weren't going over there, or I don't know.
Wait, yeah, I need some clarification. Was it just me, or did the wall just randomly pop out of nowhere? Who?
It's been mentioned in passing, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. And I think it's painfully obvious that we've been watching these episodes out of order. The order that they're showing them on TV is probably not the order they were
coming. No, they're not really? The order. They're not the order.
Yeah. Oh, that's
explains
not
it. See, we've seen this already with Firefly and how well that went over. So why would they do that? Yeah, okay, well, it's clear, and it is obvious that something doesn't feel right about the arcing of the episodes. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
If you look at the because I love Michael Ealy and Carl Urban. They're two great actors. Like, I really like their banter between each other. It's like an 80s cop movie. It's so great. I think I told that to Carl.
Yep.
And you notice their relationship takes, like, one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, two steps back. It's because seems like they were supposed to become friends over the season, but then they showed it out of order. Maybe the execs wanted the action-heavy videos up first or something, and it kind of ruined it for me for a while there. I was like, this is kind of schizophrenic. Why does he hate him now? Why is he being kind of – he's kind of a robot racist when the last episode they shook hands. So, like, what's up with that?
That's interesting. So, yeah. That makes sense to me now because I was three episodes behind until today when Kat was like, you need to watch some sci-fi right now. So I watched the last one I saw was the Fembot one, and it really was jarring. I mean, it was really, really poorly shot. I felt like it was poorly written. The special effects were like so-so, and even the dynamic between Kennex and Dorian were, I mean, that was just kind of, okay. Yeah. So I was like really disappointed, which was sad because I like the show a lot, and a lot of why I like the show is the chemistry between the two leads, and then the ancillary characters have some pretty good chemistry as well, and the Fembot episode just killed me, though. I had an experience like that with a Grimm episode recently, and it's the same feel. It is the same feel where it's just really cheesy and cliched, and
yeah.
I just didn't like it at all. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe this one should have been shown earlier, and I would be more forgiving of it then.
Yeah.
Well, I think when they introduced the wall, it felt like to me, well, we want to cancel this show, but in order to keep it on, we're going to go to Planet Canada, and that's over the wall. And so the production budget is going to take a severe cut, and this is how we're going to keep the show on, by going to post-apocalyptic blah, blah, which is of course, going to upset me because, hey, we're going to be on the set of Revolution, so.
Right.
Well, I was hoping they would do something a little bit more creative with the wall. I don't have quite the same aversion to the wall as you do, clearly. I'm not sure why your pent-up hatred, because we don't know.
Carl, you know when they go over that wall, there's not going to be any technology. They're going to be running through a forest,
well,
and it's going to be Canada. You
not
know
necessarily.
That.
Not necessarily. It
could be post-apocalyptic. You know,
well, yes, but it could also be the projects. See,
exactly.
They could, where it's not the woods, it could just be they walled off the bad side of town. And that's where the real mess is going down. You got the hyper modified people, you got unregulated technology. It could be cool. So
your hope is adorable.
I'm just holding out hope, but the show has not disappointed me in terms of its vision, in terms of where they've gone with the technology, in terms of how they've created a certain vision of the future. So if they're going to give me a wall, I have got to assume that what is behind it, much like Game of Thrones, once you go over the wall, there's going to be interesting things, not, you know, unexpected beyond it. So that is what I'm hoping for. And I really, you know, until you guys pointed it out, I didn't realize why I was so uncomfortable with some of the arcing of the stories. But yeah, I've actually gone to the Wikipedia page, and you can see the actual numbering of the episodes. There's this J707, J708, I mean 7008, 7009 of what the show numbers are, and it's totally different from the order that they were released. And that is making a whole lot of sense because there a lot of those shows where they build the bond between the characters, where you get to know the people and the environment, they're a little slower. And I was accepting that, and I was willing to have that in the beginning. That's cool. But when you give me a big action episode, you take me to the hard edge of technology. You do all this good stuff, and then you take me back to... Mm-hmm. You know, people holding hands and there's a mystery bomber. You know, the last episode was like monster robots running around. It was RoboCop. And now you've taken me to literally 1982 Lethal Weapon episode. I just said, hey,
that is really, that's how I felt. Where's the mullet?
And what you guys are pointing now about how they seem close in one episode and distant and close, that's totally, now it makes complete sense because he wasn't trusted yet because it was an earlier episode, but it comes right later. So yeah, why they gotta mess stuff up? They got a great series here and they do it. Why would I wonder when the decision was made to air these things out of order.
Because, oh man, some exec who has never written a thing in his life.
But when does that happen? Because okay, so Kat, you're concerned about the Planet Canada over the wall being cheap. I'm also sort of confident that maybe it's not going to be as bad as we think, because according to the story episode...
Because we'll never get to see it because the show's going to be canceled.
Well, I'm just hanging there. Hang on. What I'm thinking is, if you look at the order of the episodes, that's one of the later episodes, though. And so I'm thinking that that might be the arch to the dark season. Like, what's coming up is going to be the parallel universe fringe kind of thing going on. So, but assuming we get to see it, you know, what are they doing? They are killing us with this, well, it's another show on the bubble, when it really is one of the better sci-fi shows that I've seen recently. I don't want to have this fight again. Don't take me down the Farscape. Don't take me down the Firefly path again. I'm tired of it. I'm really tired.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's Fox, so... you know, they can't have Sleepy Hollow and Almost Human.
Mm-hmm. Can't do it.
But Almost Human, I think The Wall might... They've done a little social commentary a little bit in the thing, and I honestly think The Wall is going to be the dividing line between the haves and the have-nots.
Yep. And the whole police force has been about regulating technology to keep a nice, orderly society. Yeah. And we've gotten a glimpse of some of these hackers that were modified in the last couple of episodes, and we got to see what they were like. But I have a feeling over the wall, because, I mean, I don't think Larroquette went over the wall to build in a shack in the woods.
Exactly.
I have a feeling he's got like a Cobra headquarters over there. And the real crazy tech is going to be going down there. So I'm hoping that we can make it to see what's over the wall. I want to see it.
Well, if you think and look back, you know, they've made a real point of showing you how nice and shiny LA is.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, unless they have Ken X eating some noodles and a Blade Runner shout out, you know, everything.
He was rocking everything is he was rocking the collar in that hacker. Yeah. So that like, was funny.
Unless they do that, it's real nice and shiny. So I think, you know, if you look back at that fight where he loses his leg, that seems like something that would have happened over the wall.
Perhaps.
You know, because we don't see a set like that in L.A. proper.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be. I don't know. I don't think they're going to hop into Stargate when they go on the wall and everything's in the forest. I think it'll be. Yeah.
Something doesn't compute. Why would I mean? Okay, so Kennex and the captain, and they don't seem like bad people. And the people that we've seen just in the, you know, cop drama of the week, they don't seem like immoral bad people or even people who believe they're possibly better than people who live outside of the wall. I mean, that theme, the theme and the characters don't match. So
I'm sure there's nice people in gated communities all over the country.
Well, but still there's criminal element on the shiny side of the wall, really crappy. True. Horrible criminal element on that side of the wall. I think maybe it's something about some kind of plague that happened, and you know, if you didn't make it
Reavers.
Inside the wall, then yeah, then
Reavers.
Then you're on your own or whatever, and or
the
maybe
raggedy edge.
Well, but it could be a voluntary kind of thing where if you don't want to live by the rules of the society and you don't want to play along with us in our nice little pretty city, you go live over there and you can unregulated do what you want. Demolition Man.
Well, exactly. Cat read my mind. Cat read my mind.
People build a wall to keep other things out. Why build that wall? And I'm pretty sure that at least the storyline, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it quite connects for me. There's got to be some kind of plague or something that happened that where people are either radioactive or some horrible thing on the other side of the wall. And I don't know. I mean, that's why John Larroquette's character like made the sign of the cross before he left. He like said a Hail Mary and then jumped over the cross. Like there's criminal element on that inside. What else is there to fear?
Well, you know? falling off the wall. I wasn't sure he was afraid. I wasn't sure he was afraid of the people. I thought he was afraid of the heights at that particular moment.
Well, everybody else seemed freaking afraid of the other side of the wall.
Yeah, that's his home. He came from over there. He's like I said, he's got his whole headquarters set up over there. I have a feeling he didn't just literally throw stuff over the wall and say, I hope everything is all right. This
dude felt like it, man. He did this the sign of the cross.
This man is a planner. Everything about him says it. Look, what do you mean? No, look at, I mean,
it's like the 13th district or something. I mean, we're going to see Hunger Games and then like those people are okay. And they recruited the smart guy. Yeah, cause in the last episode that I saw, they had their brief discussion of this magical wall that suddenly appeared for me. About, well, if a person's that smart, they'd be on this side of the wall, that kind of thing. And maybe the impression is that, only cockroaches live on, highly advanced cockroaches live on the other side, and, that kind of thing.
Or it could just be classism.
Yeah, well, it could be class, because remember, the genetically engineered folks, that whole elite school, had a certain bias, shall we say, in terms of what regular folks were versus who they were. Not all of them, because we know our lady who's on the police force gets along just fine with everybody. But
why would Dorian have these kind of classist views? There's Dorian had no problem with the wall. He's like, well, maybe he's on the other side of the wall.
Makes total sense, of course, because he doesn't have that.
Because Dorian's a second class citizen himself, so he might, he's not going to have a problem with people over the wall.
No,
but
he's going to have innocent respect.
Moral. He's a very moral robot. Got this synthetic soul. Why wouldn't he have a problem with that?
Well, because again, you're assuming that it's just, the dregs of society over there, and they are locked over the wall. They may have chosen to be there. The people over there may have chosen to be there because they don't want to follow the rules.
The people that may have chosen to be there would have built their own ass. I mean, their own
wall.
We
don't know what's over
the wall.
We don't know who made the wall.
What if he goes over the wall and it's like nicer?
Could be.
He's so great if it's like Buck Rogers on the other side of the wall.
So, throughout history, we've just built walls to keep people in and not to keep things out.
Depends on who made the wall.
Yeah.
People who made the wall tend to want to keep things out from,
danger.
How do we know L.A. made the wall?
Yeah, exactly.
People outside that made the wall.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know.
But then the LA would consider themselves outside of the wall.
No.
They never refer to that. They say this side or that side. They don't say inside or outside.
True. Maybe it's not.
They just say over the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they obviously feel like they're on the better side of the wall.
The grass is always greener.
Yeah, wouldn't anyone think that?
On their own side of the wall? I'm going to sit back and drink my scotch.
Anyway, so
fascinating. I love this.
Well, that's just because you're being the S thrower and just trying to get everybody to focus on the darn wall. There's so much about the show that is awesome. that it says that vision of the future, the character development, what's happening, even out of order, I'm enjoying this vision of the future and the people that inhabit it. So just, you know, other than the wall, there's plenty of other stuff going on. The technology is really, really interesting between the laser-guided bullets and the sort of different versions of Android technology that's loose and all the kinds of, I'm really having a good time with it. This is sort of like the alternate universe Fringe, except we're living in it the whole time. And that's pretty. It's pretty and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic view of the future. What I like about it is it still looks like today.
Yep.
But it's the future, which, is, if you think about it, is more realistic than any other imagination of the future. Because we don't dress or do anything very differently than, say, people in the 80s. Our style's a little bit different, but life is much the same. It's just that you have these little pieces of technology in our life that change everything.
And even though we got sweet Audis and riding around in our nice cars, you always see someone rocking a Taurus driving down the street. It's 2014 and somebody still got their Ford. I saw a Ford Fiesta on the road a couple of weeks. I about freaked. I couldn't believe
it's
it was
vintage now. Road.
That thing, and it was moving, and the dude driving it was like, that's right, I got a Fiesta. That's right. I mean, it was probably the wheels are smaller than bicycle wheels, and this dude was on the highway. So, oh, yeah, tech hangs on. It hangs on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I agree with that about the technology because, you know, when we didn't have the future or how it looks, retrofuturism, they had a vision of the future but didn't have access to the future. So it looked quite different in the past than it does now. And I do really like how this future looks. And I like how believable that some of the tech that they show on the show, like we could be like 1, 2, 3 steps closer to it.
Yep.
So I really enjoy how they portray all that.
And it really feels believable technology. There's no crazy fantasy magic stuff that's going on. Everything that they've described in terms of the Android technology, the weapons technology, communication stuff, even the vehicles, everything seems to feel right.
The DNA bombs, that was the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally plausible. It's like the step beyond what we have now.
And
like, you know what I mean? It's just one step beyond.
And that the future is going in different directions. You've got the Android technology, the AI kind of stuff happening, at the same time that you've got this genetic engineering of people going on as well. Most sci-fi tends to pick one technology or one direction and barrels ahead with exclusively that. We're getting a sort of a diverse coverage of things that may come. So the show's great. I really do love it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see more. I really hope that the cancellation curse of Carl does not take hold to
why
the
you
show.
Even everybody knows that is not on me. Yeah, you can try to divert it all you want.
But you know what, girl, though? You know what, though? Every show that I've liked, you've been right there with me. You've been there with me.
So you can't
say this is all on me alone.
You're the summer glow of
well, then you're the Robert Knepper. You're Robert Knepper from Summer Glow. Screw you, son. And you like the whole carnival.
No. Never.
Oh, that's low.
That wasn't
that's kind. Low.
That was unkind. Oh, put the carnival on me.
Oh. Any final thoughts on Almost Human? Anything that you had to get out?
Oh, yeah. Did you go to the online survey? Save our show. Go to the survey and try to save the show. Vote in there and try to keep it in there.
Is it on Fox or is it?
I think it's on Fox. I thought the survey was maybe a second party. But, hey, anything that you can do to support the show, do it. Do it. Try to vote. Pitch in.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I voted. I probably am going to get, like, several emails from, like, you know, different spam sites, but that's okay. I voted right now because I really like the show.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay. All right.
Even.
Oh, dear.
even with the wall.
It's the year 2048. Okay. Here we go. All right.
Just with the wall. It'll be great. Just the wall itself, not even the side.
The spin-off show is going
to
be the wall.
Under the wall. That's a show Kat can get behind. I love Under the Wall. Why don't you watch it?
You know what? That's just not how things go here. Okay, so next we're going to talk about the new sci-fi TV show, the channel that we vowed not to watch, not to get attached to. They have a new show that is just, I don't know, it's doing it for me, and it's called Helix. Now, I watched this because I knew there were going to be something similar to zombies. I knew there was going to be lots of killing, death, and suspense. So I watched this with the excitement of viewing it through Stephanie's eyes, because I just really believed that this was something that Stephanie was going to love. There was viruses. There were people dying horribly. There was black ooze. There's freaking the set of The Thing or the beginning of Captain America. I mean, it's just, it has everything. There's the Ronald D. Moore-ness of it, because he's involved. There's just the characters that really are just kind of, they feel real, they feel right. And so I thought that Stephanie would be all over this, like whatever something is on something when it's right on top of it. Stephanie?
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's just not grabbing me like I thought it would, because you are right. The Thing is one of my favorite movies. After Aliens, The Thing. That is my second favorite movie. And I should love this. I love the black ooze from The X-Files. I love deadly horrible viruses and like projectile vomit and all sorts of things like that. But this just isn't, I don't know, it's just a little bit too Canada for me. It's just a little too sci-fi original for me. I don't know.
Like, what's missing? I don't understand. They have the suspense. They have the ooze. They have the weird guy with the gray eyes. They have.
I just don't care about it.
I think for me that's what it is. They have too much. It's like they're trying too hard to be that sci-fi show that's awesome.
I think Jamil's right. Like they had a lot going for them with just a few elements of their premise. They didn't have to throw everything in there, because now it's like throwing all the colors in there, and now it's just like
brown,
green, brown. Yeah.
And so I don't care about any of the characters.
I do not care about any of them at all.
As a matter of fact, the only person I liked is dead. The lady scientist. She was the only person I even remotely liked, and she's dead. She died like episode 3, right? Did she die like
super early? I thought you said you was one episode behind.
Wait, yeah. which scientist died?
The heavyset lady, like the one who found the monkey.
She died?
Oh, man. Man. I thought you said you was one episode behind.
They're keeping
up.
Yeah.
One episode behind, too. She died?
Yes.
She's my favorite Canadian.
Only cool character, right? Right, the only cool character is he's dead.
Wow, I guess I'm a little further behind in Helix. Well, that just illustrates my point. I just don't care. I do not even care.
I don't even understand it. I mean, it's a new sci-fi show. Ronald D. Moore, dude, the man with the hair who brought us BSG, he is bringing it right now. You got like a weird head in a freaking jar or something out in the middle of the snow. You got twins separated at birth by a weird, maybe Japanese guy who has silver eyes. And then you have like this vector whatever going on that's, you know, we don't know if it's airborne, if it's transmitted by saliva or touch or whatever.
Oh, we know it's translated with saliva. We know that quite well.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, okay, we know, but we didn't know how it did it immediately.
All of the baby bird feeding scenes we've seen throughout this hey, baby, just standing naked in the shower. Come here for a second. Yeah.
In the shower with the black ooze. Yes. Like that let me go right off the bat too, because that was what the first episode when he just walks up around the shower. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and stay here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna. Absolutely. Hey, oh, you're coming towards me? Sure. Let's go ahead and see where that leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Good things. Good things. I'm sure. Pass the loofah.
Yeah. This can only end well.
Okay, look, Kat, here's my thing, because you know,
God, am I the only one pumped up about this show?
Yes, Nipper.
Yes, you are.
Like Slumber Cloud. I told you.
I don't understand you people. This has the best soundtrack ever. Like, instead of like, you know, screeching violins and stuff, they play like Frank Sinatra. And
I tell you, the easy listening music is the most disconcerting thing about this series. Anytime they start with the easy listening, look out, because something is about to go down that ain't kosher.
AM radio is always evil.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's like you're trapped in an elevator. Okay, Kat, look, here's the thing. We've had our discussions about Battlestar Galactica. And one of the reasons that I was not a tremendous fan of new BSG is because it was constantly down. Every episode was depressing. Bad news piled on top of worse news, on top of even worse news. And it just kind of hung like that for season after. When you start a series off killing the kids, it just in the arboretum, you know, that's how you open it. You just know where to go after that. You just keep going to, well, this is yet another. And I could tell Moore was involved with this. I was like, yep, I see the fingerprint coming back again. Because with a show like this and a lot of these new sort of, I don't know what you want to call them, but these, I guess, realistic sci-fi programs are coming out. They're excellent with mood. They create an environment, a feeling about them. And there's nothing you cannot deny that Helix has got a feel and a mood about
it. That's right.
I mean, not like a joke, but I feel like I'm looking through a toilet paper roll the whole time. it's that claustrophobic. You can't see what's around the corner. It's
dark. I love that.
All right, Johnny, come lately.
Turn around. Every episode feels just like that, start to finish, and I get tired. You know, I'm like, oh God, what now? And
I'm feeding off of it, though, man.
Problem.
I've only come lately because I don't like Helix still, but I really like that style. So, yeah,
biggest problem with that is, if you're gonna do that and you're gonna keep me in a, you know, a tin tube for the entire multiple series season of your series, there's got to be a payoff that makes it worthwhile. Give me
Black Ooze.
Please.
What about the dead monkeys?
Yes!
I need a payoff. And I mean, so how many episodes have we watched of Helix so far? We're like seven, eight of them? And the reveal, I mean, seriously, think about Galactica, okay? Look at all of the crap that we had to go through with that series, all of the depression, all of the sex. Is she a clone? Is she a cyborg or not? Was she born or not? Are they going to reach Earth or not? And then look at how they rewarded us after literally taking us through, like, the Vietnam War. We get set down on, you know, Easter Island. We don't know if someone's dead or not. That's what makes me mad. And so think about Lost. The same thing with Lost. We constantly give us these series. Think about the river. We got the tunnel. Everything is closed in around us. We go through this constant pain throughout the entire quarter. And then all we want is some kind of a redeeming payoff in the end that says, now I know what all of this was worth. Well, we know why we would give me a payoff and you see what we've gotten. Damn, aren't you burnt out? Aren't you?
But that's how life is. It's just like that. Life is just like Roxy Moore writing.
I don't want to watch this. Yeah. Good guys.
We're not watching TV to live more life.
Damn right.
We're watching TV to get away from life.
I usually feel like
I don't want to think about how I'm going to die.
Oh, I want that on a I want that on a t-shirt. We're not watching TV to live more life.
Thank you. It's true.
And we're done. So see you guys next time.
I am preemptive. When I watch a show, I'm always thinking, okay, what's going to be around the next corner? How's this going to play out? Where's this going to go? Aren't y'all tired? Haven't you been through this stuff before? And when I'm watching this, and because, you know, it's a sci-fi show, so there's no guarantee that they are going to be able to deliver on the existential psyche that payoff that's going to make it worth all of the crap that we've been through. They keep killing off the people that we like. The drama, little by little, it's kind of something that we've seen, elements we've seen before. I am terrified. This is where Helix is going to go. And so with all of these patterns in mind, like I said, from the makers of Lost, yep, see it. Battlestar, yep.
All got no idea where they're going.
That we've seen already. Don't, from their perspective, don't you think they would sprinkle in a little bite just to say, look, we're not going to jerk you around like we did before. This time it's going to be different. You guys, cats, all.
But you know what? But the difference is it's in a setting that I enjoy that is not a forest or a Hawaii island. And because of Battlestar Galactica, it was in space. Space is supposed to have hope for me. So I was not prepared for Battlestar Galactica to be so depressing. But now hold up. But now I understand their style and where they're going. So I have totally embraced the depression and the darkness and the toilet paper tubing of the show. And I now understand where they're going, and I get it. I feel it in my soul, and I am on board. And I just don't understand how all of the lessons that we learned from Lost, BSG, crazy shows with no payoff, that you know that this is where they're going to go, and you just haven't embraced it.
Is Ronald D. Moore trying to make you hurt yourself?
Thank you. Seriously. What?
I've accepted the darkness. This I want to die.
Seriously, this is what you were trying to sell us, and you're going, I don't see why y'all don't want to join me. You just said that. You said exactly the best.
On the downward spiral.
No. Listen, guys, you haven't touched the heart of why this series sucks. It's not the theme. It's not the theme. It's not the special effects. It's not even some of the storylines are kind of interesting. It's the tepid acting. It's the characters that I don't even care about at all. I cared more about the frozen monkey that died than I cared about any of the people. And now that I know that Van Halen Bandana Lady is dead, I don't want to know. I don't care. I don't want to know. You can throw awesome blood vomit at me, and I don't even care. And this is coming from someone who loves blood vomit, okay? I love blood vomit, and it's not enough. You have to have good writing and good acting, and they just don't.
Stephanie loves blood vomit, but hates
on Twitter
Helix.
Right now.
But hates Helix. All right, listen, that's just your there's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I do not disagree with you, Stephanie. I am far more interested in the monkey than a lot of the folks on this show. So that is kind of, and you know what also broke my heart is a single person that could typically save a show for me and has done a fabulous job of doing this in the past is Jerry Ryan. I love me some Jerry Ryan. I gotta say, I was actually afraid to share with you my opinions of the show because I thought Jerry Ryan would beat the crap out of me because that's all she did in her first episode. Everybody that came up to her, she smacked them down. She beat even the dude she kissed. She beat down first. Jerry was killing everybody around.
Love. So, I mean, you gotta have a little pain before you get the makeup
Cat back on Thunderdome. You see, they don't want to live in her village. You don't want to live in her village.
She don't need another hero. She just said that.
There you go.
She don't want no heroes.
Yeah. Who runs Border Town? That's what she'd be yelling.
That's what would save this show, guys. A wall.
No, I don't even.
The bottom line is, when you have every element that you mentioned in this show, and you can compare it to an element in another sci-fi show, that's a bad thing.
And not the happy, fun, intriguing ones. These are the ones that didn't just pay off. I mean, because just starting with the Black Ooze, that takes us back to X-Files, right? The Masters of Closure. X-Files series, where all questions were answered. We felt good at the end of the season. When the show ended, we said, wow, I'm glad we know how everything turned out. That's the basis. That's the platform we're beginning with here.
Not wasted at all.
Yeah, and then you tack on a little of the joy and optimism of Galactica on there. You put some of that in there. You know, you sprinkle in some Andromeda strain where you got a little hopeful. Which, by the way, you know, Kirk lady, you know, modern William Shatner lady from Andromeda Strain is your guy, your lady that got killed off right away. So all of these random elements have come together to make this radical new show that we've never seen before, Helix. And I can't.
No one should want to take Xanax after watching a TV show.
No, I can't.
I don't feel depressed.
I didn't feel depressed either.
The soul has been beaten down from all of these.
Stolen.
He already said it. Because look, you said, when you watch Galactica, you said, I like the hopefulness of a space environment. That's a little bit. But this is held inside of a CDC center where it's just nothing but death and disease?
No. That's super amazing.
Like a research center, it seems like it would be super cool, but it's not. It's like Terra Nova was for me.
Too brute. I mean,
go there. The real remake of that show is coming out on the CW very soon. They've got a new show coming out that is.
What's based, a remake of what now?
It's a remake of what's our show with the dinosaurs and Terra Nova? Yeah, it's called 100. It's called the 100. I think if you see the previews, you'd be like, no. It's like they crossed Hunger Games in Terra Nova.
Well, no, I figured out the CW. They take any other show and add 90210.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's CW show. Take anything
and what
except for Arrow.
And what?
Still though, Arrow is a bunch of pretty people.
This show is a bunch of pretty people. With the blood.
Well, you'd Helix? Nah, they're not that pretty.
Not all that pretty. They're not that pretty. Except the cat. The show is giving Cat Stockholm Syndrome, apparently.
Yes.
Stephanie would be super pumped up about, and this would be a new show that her and I would share together. And I just don't think that she has properly bonded with the show. And I think that if she does, that she would find some gems in there. I really think you should rethink, Helix, all three of you, because I just think you've watched so much crap in your life that you just need to wipe the slate clean. Presented here for you with Helix, and just go with it.
This is not like The River where you only had to endure it for 8 episodes. This is the real deal. I don't want to do that at all. Unless they add 90210 elements, like somebody's wearing the same prom dress, then maybe. But
what does that even mean? I don't know. What?
I cannot devote my time.
Don't you remember when Brenda and Kelly wore the same prom dress? On
90210. I didn't watch that show.
Oh.
Sad.
That's okay. The 90210 folks would have gotten that one. That was forgot.
Oh,
that
was good. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I'm not the one who brought up 90210. Thank you very much.
I brought it up.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know what? I can reference a show. Thank you very much.
And
I think we can all agree that if somebody from Helix turned up in a prom dress, it might be a little bit more interesting.
Jerry Ryan. Jerry Ryan. I would like to see that. That would work for me.
You know, I am super disappointed in you guys.
I'm sorry.
I just don't understand how this isn't like one of your
favorites.
You of all people. I mean, you watch Zombiever.
I watch Zombiever trailer. There is a difference. Should have been the best that I like.
That we should live tweet, and then Helix, you're just like, I don't know.
I gotta admit, I am surprised that Stephanie didn't like it more. I am surprised by that. However, but I can't understand why you don't. So I did think this was more in your wheelhouse.
I don't know if I can relate to you guys anymore.
Like, I can't spend an hour on this when Black Sails comes on. I can't do it. I only got a certain number of hours that I can devote to television.
Yeah. So is that good? I've heard of this before. What is this now? Yeah. Pirates?
Black Sails Pirates. On Stars. Pirates on Stars. Yes.
Right. Pirates, though.
Yeah. It's part of Pirates.
Pirates good. It's cool.
Yeah, no, but Johnny Depp kind of ruined Pirates for me.
That does not count. You have a real pirate.
This is like
Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time.
What is wrong with you? Have you seen an actual pirate at all? No.
This is what Helix does to people.
Yeah, you go. This is Cat on Helix, is what it is. You need to have an intervention.
I don't think that you guys are appreciating the artistry that is going on in Helix.
You do realize you sound like somebody that's battered, right? It's got that same kind of defense. You're going.
Are you kidding me? I can't believe you're comparing me to a battered wife just because I like a TV show that you guys don't have the vision to see.
He treats me good.
I still trust you.
Right there. Throw that out. He's very nice.
I still trust you, Kat. I think that you're fine.
With Stargate.
Stephanie?
No. Listen, I trust your judgment. I'm sorry. I've seen a little bit too much of Canadian acting right now, and I just can't. But later, maybe.
No love on this. Let's not treat them bad like that. Y'all being rude. And there's
I like Canada. I just don't like Canadian acting. In any case, I did like the suggestion that you gave me in the flesh. That was a really good show.
Okay.
I can't wait for that to come out again for the second season for that.
All right. In the flesh was good. I do recommend.
Yeah. Really, really good. Like cry tears. Good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I trust you. I mean, and I think I'm the one who needs to apologize because of, you know, contracted.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
but still, Helix
for better me. Than contracted.
That's not saying much, though. There, sorry.
Rude.
Yeah,
rude.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm. Wow, I'm just really. I really don't know what you guys want anymore. Like, I don't know what makes you guys. I don't know what to report. Like, back to.
How about not constant pain throughout every episode?
But it's not that painful. It's not.
Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think I could tolerate Andromeda a little bit more. Yeah.
I want what Jamil said on a T-shirt. I want what Jamil said on a T-shirt about TV. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's at Step by Stereo.
Okay, that's fine. I just think that you guys are sleeping on the next big thing and that you guys will regret it. And then what the thing is that you haven't like watched them twice like I have, and you're not seeing all the nuance.
You don't know him like you do.
Whatever. I will watch
all of the episodes for you, and then I will see if I've changed my mind. How's that?
I'll finish out the season, mostly because I know Jerry Ryan is coming back. So I'll finish out the season, and I'll. But I'm telling you, what my opinion is I had an open mind going into this. I really thought it was going to be sort of like a full season Andromeda Strain. And there was a lot that I liked about Andromeda Strain I don't really see in Helix. And I'm a little worried.
But there's a whole bunch of mystery. There's the head in the ice.
There's too many mysteries.
A lot of mysteries. Payoffs got a man.
Can we just learn about the disease first? Yeah. Can the disease be the big bad just for a little bit?
Yeah, but then that would be so super boring. Like just
as opposed to finding out that the scientist is dating his coworker, and he found out that his ex-wife is on the station or whatever.
Yeah, but we got to see her suffer for that already.
Totally unnecessary drama. It just
about these people? Can we learn to care about them before we know their interpersonal relationships?
Or before they're killed off?
Yeah, I don't know any of these people. Like, all I know is there's a bunch of mysteries.
Convenient.
They're all ciphers.
Yep.
The thing is, if I don't care about you, you better die in a really painful, horrible way. Not enough people have died. And, you know, so as a Lovecraftian fan, I'm fine with not liking anybody and having them die a horrible tentacle death. But this, there's nothing. There is nothing for me yet. Like if the virus turns out to be something an alien virus that they modified or something, or that they, you know, and then, you know, suddenly that head in the ice starts crawling around on the ground with some tentacles out. You know, that would be fun, but it's just not
you
right
people.
Now.
You people.
I'm sorry.
How long do we have to wait? How long do we have to wait for something to happen?
I can't with you. Any of you right now. So, you know, any final thoughts on that, Jamil? Because I know we kind of talked over you on Helix.
No, it's all good. You can talk all you want. Just remember, Ronald D. Moore gave us Battlestar Galactica, but he gave us Battlestar Galactica Season 4. And that's what this feels like. It's Ronald D. Moore not up to par for me.
That's just painful.
Sorry.
That's painful.
Man tells the truth.
No, that's painful. Y'all got to be a little bit nicer than that. That hurts. It hurts.
It's not Heroes. How about that?
Wow. Rude.
It's not the river.
Yeah.
Rude as hell. Rude as hell. You enjoyed that.
I enjoyed the first 3 episodes. That is all I will commit to insofar as enjoying.
The river was pretty good. I just knew it wasn't going to get renewed.
I just know. I'm sorry. My heart hurt after the cocoon. When a man jumped out of the cocoon, my heart has not been the same.
Well, at least something happened in the episode to episode. I mean, they weren't just sitting around having angst on the river. They actually went out. People came on. They left it. It was
good. Stuff happened. Oh, God. I mean, you can't have nothing nice with you folks. Okay. That's fine. Okay, that's fine. So we had a new trailer come out that a lot of people are really excited about, and I'm confused about that because I'm not excited about it. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'd like to hear, you know, kind of go around if you've guys seen the trailer. Why in the heck are we excited about this? Jamil, start first.
You want me to start? Okay. Well, I am really excited about it. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not a huge fan of the comic, although I'm a big comic nerd. But I am excited the fact that Marvel is trying something off the beaten path. And so this will be a real test of how well the Marvel method works on screen. Can you take something that's not a tried and true traditional superhero, try something really different, and make non-comic geeks like it? If they can get people who don't read comics to cheer for a big tree and a raccoon with a gun, they will have carte blanche to do whatever they want. So that means you know how long it's going to take for us to get a Black Panther movie. So it is going to take a talking raccoon to be successful before we get Black Panther. This movie, because that's going to open up a Blade remake, Black Panther, you know, us really getting some of the lesser known characters. Like, I would love to see like a new Warriors movie with like Speedball and Night Thrasher, And they're not going to risk those type of characters being on screen unless they can take something kitschy like Guardians of the Galaxy. And to me, it seems like they've captured what makes the comic great. So I love the trailer.
Carl.
Haven't seen it yet. And sadly, I don't know anything about the comic. I do not know this character space. So okay. All I could see is what I saw, the clip of the preview. It looked like Star Fox? But the movie about that. So I just wanted to see. I don't know. I don't know what to expect with this.
Stephanie, have you seen this trailer?
This is out of my realm.
Yeah.
I'm the audience that they want to get so they could have carte blanche. That's me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's me too. And I saw it and I just, like, I don't get it.
Well, the Guardians, you want me to, can I explain it?
Feel free. Okay. Not sure it's going to work, okay. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, the Guardians, like, are part of the cosmic characters for Marvel. So think Silver Surfer. This is all space-based stuff. And I like to think that everybody was on acid when they made these characters up. Like, basically, like, all the cosmic characters for Marvel, the space stuff is very, very trippy. And the Guardians, they used to be, there are two iterations, and we're looking at the modern iteration where they're all kind of a bunch of space misfits. Chris Pratt will play Star-Lord, who is, if you remember that old series, Starman?
Yep.
Remember that? Yep. The story is pretty much the same. Like, alien crashes on Earth, meets a beautiful woman, and then what happens is he has a kid with a woman. So Chris Pratt is half alien, and the guy he crashed was like space royalty. And there's
sounds
a,
like Brother from Another Planet.
Not really, because then he is picked up and taken with his dad because aliens come and assassinate his mom. So he's been off Earth for about 20 years. And he's kind of like a, how do I put it, like a rebellious prince. He's just like a total jerk who goes around getting into trouble and whatnot. He's really a galactic thief, but he always gets away with it because he's the king's son. And then you've got a bunch of other misfits, like Rocket Raccoon is like a genetic experiment. Groot is from another dimension. Zoe Saldana plays Gamora, who is literally like a person who kills for fun. She's an assassin who likes to kill, like she'll kill for free. And Drax ties it into Thanos, who appeared in at the end of Avengers.
So are we going to finally get to see Thanos?
I believe that this is how they're going to tie it in, because you've got the Tesseract, which was in Captain America and everything, which is one of the Infinity Gems. And then, of course, they used another one in Thor. So I'm thinking that because Drax exists solely to try to kill Thanos, there's going to be a big thing where, obviously, Thanos is going to collect all the gems. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have Avengers 3, Thanos wrecks everyone's ish, which I think is the official subtitle.
So is this gonna like tie into, because the only comic book like that I've ever read with any enthusiasm was like the Infinity Gauntlet, and that's it.
That was bittersweet.
And The Walking Dead.
And The Walking Dead. And The X-Files.
Okay, good. I'm glad
and
you had
Serenity.
A couple. Yeah. And there you go.
And Buffy.
So you got. Okay, so you do like a couple comics, like my stuff. Okay. Yes, I have a feeling this all leads to Infinity Gauntlet. What I'm worried about is how they're going to do it without Spider-Man or the X-Men. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, Avengers 3 has to be Infinity Gauntlet. It almost has to be.
I'm kind of excited, but I'm still not excited about Guardians of the... I will see it, but it's... my complaint is like, so Captain America, you have Captain America. Iron Man, you have Iron Man. Thor, you have Thor and Idris Elba. Guardians of the Galaxy?
You got Chris Pratt. You yoked.
Yeah. I don't know him.
When you were going through the character description, did you talk about the raccoon?
Yeah, his name's Rocket. Don't call him a raccoon because he will shoot you.
Okay.
But he's like a genetic experiment, and he was when Marvel went through their talking animal phase.
So is he from Earth?
No, he was created along the same time as Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Yes, Howard the Duck. How about that? All right, to that, I
and
simply will say.
My brain just turned off right now.
I will say,
And they went through a phase. They went through a phase. They had Howard the Duck, and there was what was it? Peter Porker, Spider Ham.
I don't know.
Russell.
Yeah, there was a
animal here. That's not that Chris Pratt. I'm not seeing. He's not. No.
Oh, now I have to look up Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Stephanie, don't.
Okay, well, while we've had this discussion, I have been watching the extended trailer, and the production value looks great. I mean, this stuff looks really good.
Yeah, but he's not Thor.
Did you see him in his underwear right here, where he's taking a selfie? Which, who does that right now? And anyway.
Wait,
because he was
now
fat.
You send me a link to that?
Underwear selfie?
Yeah.
Really? You want to see this?
Yeah, I need to see it. Because it might motivate me somehow, perhaps.
Underwear motivates you. Okay.
Wait, is the man in the underwear? Yes,
the man is in the underwear, and there's some significant body musculature.
Maybe we should go back to talking about the raccoon.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I think that would probably be better. We can
back see this, don't you? It's, so you need to. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Cat changed her mind. right now.
What's funny, we just got past the link on the internets, and so that's why Kat got silent. She was clicking on the link just then, so apparently something is impressing her.
Yeah, so apparently Chris Pratt has earned Kat's respect, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Rocket Raccoon is probably the character that's going to make or break the movie. He's the Wolverine of the group.
All right, well, I like Yoda, so hey, I can go down with hang out with the character there. So. Mm.
Yeah. Really? That was tenuous. I like Yoda.
Yes, he's like the little mini CG character that has to be believable.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah. And then you got Groot.
Yeah, but if all you had was Yoda, I don't know.
I would watch the heck out of a Yoda movie.
If Arsenio Hall and Paul Abdul come on the set, I'm just going to be upset.
But why would they do that?
Opposites attract. Yeah, well done. Well done. I see.
See what you did there. What you do there.
That's like, what happens when I have too much alcohol.
Tomorrow.
I've got work tomorrow too, man. But you guys drove me to drink because of Helix and all sorts of other things.
Don't put that on me. Don't do it.
Okay.
I'm posting a tweet of this photo because people might need to understand why they should see
why this man has tight undies on.
So the raccoon, Carl.
Yeah, tell me more. So I really want to hear about the raccoon now, suddenly.
Yeah, the character's name is Groot, and he'll be played by Vin Diesel, actually.
Oh, cool. All right. And,
like, I would rather see Vin Diesel than what now?
Groot, here's the thing about Groot. Also, see, I'm just going to talk. I'm going to keep talking.
Please, save me. Keep, yes, tell me more about Groot. Anything.
One thing. Groot says, I am Groot. And he says it in so many different ways, and only Rocket Raccoon can understand them. So those two characters are going to carry the movie. If those two characters are hits, the movie will be a hit.
Okay.
Listen. Why watch this when you have Zombiever? Okay?
See, the critics are already approving of Chris Pratt. And so Guardians of the Galaxy, if we circulate that photo, you might get your girl to go. The Rockets.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to point out that Kat is getting excited about Guardians of the Universe. So look out. Look out.
Right. That's right. I like the big man.
Look out.
This guy's not exciting me to go, but maybe the raccoon. After you guys have talked about him enough.
You like skinny men. But so then you'll have like plenty of tiny little hipster guys.
Did not say hipster, so
we should end this podcast. This
I'm thinking we should wrap this up. Yeah.
That's gonna talk about the raccoon a little bit more. Because
Rocket Raccoon's dope. That's my dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jamil, I really thank you for joining us. You've been so much fun. I wish you and Carl would have argued a bit more, but we're not talking about Stargate Universe right now. So maybe next time we will do that and we will see some fisticuffs.
Nothing unites me and Carl like a bad show like Helix.
Yeah, you're saying. We
come together.
I don't even.
Circle the wagon.
Oh, man, that's just not cool. Thanks, Stephanie, for coming on, even though you kind of haven't seen a lot of going on.
I saw the latest Walking Dead. I just missed.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you back together. You don't have any classes this semester, so this is uncalled for, okay?
It certainly is. American Horror Story, I'm 3 episodes behind in that too, and so I just have to get it together.
What's wrong with you? And
I don't know.
I don't know, man. You need to get it together. And Carl, we got you from a busy day of meeting, so I thank you for coming out too, sir.
It's all right. I've got a long evening of document writing ahead, so this is just whetting the appetite for the fun that's to come.
All right. And that's our show, folks. We love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. We have a website, and that is sci-fi-partyline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
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 See ya.
End of line.